1 Samuel chapter 28. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's begin our reading in verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that after the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare to fight with Israel, and Achish said to David, "Know assuredly that you shall go out with me to battle, you and your men." And David said to Achish, "Surely you shall know what your servant can do." And Achish said to David, "Therefore will I make you keeper of my head forever." David is saying, "King, you're getting a man who knows how to fight, and he's going to fight for you." And notice again the last part of verse 2. And Achish said to David, "Therefore will I make you keeper of my head forever." For a Philistine king to say, "David, I will make you keeper of my head," that is a remarkable thing. It is remarkable because after David killed the famous Philistine Goliath, he cut off his head. And he killed countless other Philistines in battle also. Philistines have been the arch enemies of the Israelites for years, going back to Samson. 3. Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and wizards out of the land. In the law of Moses, God forbid mediums, fortune-telling, seances, and all the rest of that stuff. As far as God is concerned, anyone who plays around with the occult is committing spiritual adultery, and that is why he demanded the death penalty for those guilty of that sin in Old Testament times. 4. And the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa. And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. Saul should be afraid. He's about to head into the battle, and God is not with him. Saul has walked away from God, and God has turned his back on Saul. You know, if somebody's going through trials, it's not smart to tell them it'll be okay, simply to make them feel better. Because unless that person has repented and made Jesus Christ the Lord of their life, it is not okay, and it will not be okay. Verse 6. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by the prophets. When things were going well for Saul, he did not have time for God. When he was young and strong, he didn't figure he needed God. He certainly didn't figure that he needed to obey God. And now he's an old man in big trouble, and he can't get through to God. And let me tell you something. God has caller ID. And when he saw Saul's name, he didn't pick up. Saul does not want God anyway. He just wants to win this battle. God knows that. 7. Then said Saul to his servants, "Seek me a woman that has a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her." And his servant said to him, "Behold, there is a woman that has a familiar spirit at Endor." Saul had gone along with God's word and banned all occult practices in Israel. But here, in a moment of desperation, he looks for a medium. He spoke against the sin of the occult, but now that he felt like doing it, it was a completely different story. You know, the Bible says if you pass judgment on others, but you do the same thing that they do, you're condemning yourself. Verse 8, course, Saul's been long time he's been condemned. 8, and Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went, and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night, and he said, I pray you, divine to me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up, whom I shall name to you. Saul risked his life. He snuck into the Philistines' territory in order to talk to a medium. The Bible says that God has placed eternity in the heart of man. In other words, people need, they have a need to communicate with their Creator. And that's because deep down, we have this built-in knowledge that this life is not all there is, and our body is not all there is to us. And if a person will not make a connection with their Creator through Jesus Christ, then they're going to connect with something or someone else out there. And it won't be good. 9. And the woman said to him, Behold, you know what Saul has done, how he has cut off those that have familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore, then lay you a snare for my life to cause me to die. Verse 9. And the woman said to him, Behold, you know what Saul has done, how he has cut off those who have familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then lay you a snare for my life to cause me to die? And of course, this witch doesn't care what God has said. She's worried about what Saul has said. She doesn't care about God's law against the occult. She cares about Saul's law. And why he made that, I have no idea. He certainly wasn't godly. Anyway, she's more concerned about what Saul would do to her than she is about what God would do to her. She's like many. She's more concerned about her physical life than her immortal soul. Verse 10. And Saul swore to her by the Lord, saying, As the Lord lives, there shall no punishment happen to you for this thing. And I'd like to know where he got the authority to do that, to say what he just said. Saul is rebelling against God by consulting a medium, and yet he is swearing by the Lord, who he is disobeying, swearing that she will not get in trouble for trying to contact the dead, which God has strictly forbidden. Saul has no right to say that she has nothing to fear. And of course, Saul is not the only one who waters down the word of God for the sake of popularity or personal gain, which is what he is doing. And by the way, God does mind sin, and people need to know it. And anyone who tells you that it'll be okay is not your friend. They are lying. 11. Then said the woman, Whom shall I bring up for you? And he said, Bring me up Samuel. What a racket she has going. She talks as if she can dial a person's dead number or a dead person's number, and they just will immediately respond by coming to earth. You got to really be gullible to believe that nonsense. And you have to be ignorant of the word of God to believe that nonsense. Or you got to be awful desperate. 12. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice. And the woman spoke to Saul, saying, Why have you deceived me? For you are Saul. This woman obviously had been a fraud. Her business had been nothing but demonic hype. And that's why she's surprised by an actual appearance. And understand this, no one can bring anyone back from the dead. No one can relay a message to you from a dead person. And in those cases where something that only the dead person would know is communicated, it is a demon. Demons know an awful lot about all of us. 13. And the king said to her, Be not afraid for what you saw. And the woman said to Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. She just broke the law of God. She better be afraid. Anyone who reads their horoscope, messes with palm reading, uses Ouija boards, calls the psychic hotline, ought to be afraid. They are insulting God. Society may call it entertainment, but relabeling sin does not make it any less sinful. Saul has no business telling her not to be afraid. 14, and he said to her, "What form is he of?" And she said, "An old man comes up, and he is covered with a mantle." And Saul perceived that it was Samuel. And he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. Too bad for Saul. It doesn't say that he bowed before God. He bowed before Samuel. There's not a human being alive or dead, saint or sinner, that should be bowed down to in place of God. 15. And Samuel said to Saul, "Why have you disquieted me to bring me up?" Samuel's not very happy. Number one, it was a sin to try to bring up a dead person. Number two, once a person is in paradise, the last thing you want to do is come back to earth. And by the way, this is Samuel. This is Samuel. It is impossible for a man to bring a man back from the dead, but God did it here for his own purposes. Look at verse 15 again. And Samuel said to Saul, "Why have you disquieted me to bring me up?" And Saul answered, "I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me, and answers me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called you, that you may make known to me what I shall do." Saul is supposed to be the leader, and yet he is so messed up that he doesn't know what to do. So he calls on a dead person for direction. God doesn't turn his back on people for no reason at all. In fact, he doesn't turn his back on them. They turn their back on him. And if they would repent, then they would not have their backs turned to God anymore. If he would have been close to God, then God would have been leading him, and he would not have panicked, and he would not have looked to a dead human being for direction. This is all his fault. Then Samuel said, "Why then do you ask of me, seeing the Lord has departed from you and has become your enemy?" If Saul is not right with God, then Samuel can't help him. No one can do anything for God's people if they're not willing to submit to God themselves. No one can give us any good counsel if we are not listening to the counsel of God. I have nothing to offer anyone beyond what the Holy Scriptures say. 17, and the Lord has done to him as he spoke by me. And the Lord has rent the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor, even to David. If Saul thought God was kidding when he warned him about rebellion, he doesn't think that anymore. God does not bluff. When he warns, he is dead serious. God's wrath should not be a surprise to any sinner, because he said it would happen if they would not repent. 18, because you obeyed not the voice of the Lord, nor executed his fierce wrath upon Amalek, therefore has the Lord done this thing to you this day. Saul's first major act of rebellion occurred when he refused to obey God and wipe out the ungodly Amalekites. That was the beginning of his downward slide, which has led to the situation he is in right here. Sin's consequences are like a snowball rolling down the side of a mountain. One thing leads to another. They escalate and build on each other until there is big trouble.